You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, it's Thursday the 15th of May 2025. The Australian share market rising today by 0.2% on the S&P ASX 200. We'll have the details with Elizabeth Tien in a few moments from Citi. But first, 89,000 jobs were created in April. That's the strongest monthly gain in 14 months, most of them full-time and for women. Economists telling me it reflects the growing care economy. The Bureau of Statistics adding that the participation rate increased to a near record of 67.1%, meaning more people are in or actively seeking work, which is a sign of confidence about the jobs market. So those two factors combined means the unemployment rate remained at 4.1%, which is roughly where it's been for more than a year, and at a time when the population has been growing. So for more, I spoke with Paul Bloxham, the chief economist at HSBC. Paul, how would you describe the jobs market at the moment?
I'd say it's strong and it's still quite tight. So we've still got a real sort of tightness of labour availability relative to the amount of demand that is there. But I think that was reflected in today's numbers as well. The unemployment rate was steady at 4.1%, which is still a low unemployment rate. Of course, we had this exceptionally strong employment number, but I'm a little cautious about reading too much into that particular figure.
Still, can you run us through what's driving it? And of those 89,000 jobs created, most of them were for women this time around. Do we know why?
Well, so on the first point, I think the primary thing is we saw this big fall in employment back in February, which looked really unusual back then. And then what we've had in the last couple of months, so last month's print and this month's print, is a rebound. It sort of bounced back. So the trend in employment is very similar to the previous trend. It looks mostly to be statistical quirks that are driving that volatility. In terms of the female employment story, this is a longer term thing. We've seen this for at least the past year or so, where there's been more jobs created for women than there have been for men. And I think partly that reflects the sorts of jobs that are being created. More jobs in the care economy. On average, they tend to be more, have higher female participation. And so that's an ongoing trend.
To what extent, though, do you think geopolitical and economic uncertainty now will weigh on the jobs market later this year? And what do forward-looking measures of labour demand actually show?
So the outlook for the labour market still looks fairly solid, and the forward indicators would indicate that, suggest that as well. And so I think there is going to be some flow-on effect from the global story, and the global growth slowdown has a bit of an impact on both growth and on the jobs market. But I think it's going to be fairly modest. It's going to be a fairly mild effect overall.
Finally, are there any threats, though, more immediately to inflation, given we're seeing this tight jobs market? On top of that, we're seeing real wages starting to rise. And what will the RBA ultimately make of this data and the implication for interest rates?
So I think inflation is still on this gradual easing pathway, and that's going to allow the RBA an opportunity to be able to lower interest rates a bit further. And we think next week we will get a rate cut from the RBA. And we think that's going to be on two grounds. One, inflation has come back into the RBA's target band. Two, the labour market is tight and strong, but it's not generating more excessive wages growth than we think is necessarily something that will concern the RBA. But most importantly, they're looking out to the global economy right now, and they're seeing the downside risks to global growth. And we think that'll be the thing that really pushes them over the edge to delivering one more rate cut next week.
Paul Bloxham there, the chief economist at HSBC.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
The Australian share market now, which rose the S&P ASX 200 up 0.2% to 8,297. It followed a mixed day on Wall Street, but tech stocks there doing well. For more, I spoke with Elizabeth Tien from Citi. So Liz, how has the market responded to today's economic data, and to what extent has it changed, if at all, expectations for what the market thinks the RBA will do with interest rates next week?
It was a surprising number, as you know, Ricardo. So there has been a bit of a reaction. Before the unemployment data came out, the market was pricing in virtually 100% chance of a rate cut. And it's been sitting like that nearly all the last month, you know, with all the tariffs and the volatility, 100% priced in. Now, after those surprising unemployment numbers came in, it's been pared back a little bit, the probability. We're now probably seeing about a 90-ish% chance of a rate cut. So rate cut cuts still on the cards. Our economists still calling for a rate cut, but obviously it's not so much of a done deal. We've seen a bit of a reaction also in the currency market. Aussie dollar to US slightly stronger on the back of that data as well. And our rates trading desk also trimmed back a little bit of that percentage of a rate cut. Overall, though, we probably will still get it next week.
Okay, I want to spend some time talking about international markets with you if we can, right? If we look offshore at the moment, it does appear that risk is definitely back with shares rising in recent days, particularly in the US. And while those gains eased overnight, not so in the tech sector. The tech sector is still doing well. Is the market too confident following the temporary US-China trade deal?
I mean, that really is the question. It was a very, very fast rebound. Really, if you weren't already in the market, you probably missed that very fast rebound. I mean, if you look at what the markets are saying, it's really saying the tariff, tantrums and all the, volatility, that's probably taken a back burner now and a back seat. And most of that volatility probably has come off in the short term. We're still quite positive on US equity markets, the S&P 500. We've got a target of 5,800 as a level by year end. But the reaction has actually seen the US market exceed that a little bit at the moment. I think a few key things investors need to think about is when we come to this 90-day deadline, because obviously it's supposed to be a pause, will there be a little bit of nervousness back again? Will there be more deals that come out with other countries like Japan and India and Europe that have still yet to have any kind of real dialogue come out of it? But I think markets are really switching their focus away from the tariffs at the moment and starting to look at things like, companies. We think US markets, as you have pointed out, Ricardo, tech did well last night, and we think tech growth sectors in the US will continue to perform well.
What about other global markets? How are they riding out this volatility? Because there was a period there, wasn't there, where I was told by analysts that money was being pulled away from the US, for example, and going into Europe.
Absolutely. In fact, I think when we had our last conversation when I was on your program, that was before Liberation Day, and we were talking, you and I, all about, is US exceptionalism over? And that term is all about, we've seen in the last 15 years, overall, a lot of money flow in from all over the world into US capital markets, obviously including share markets. That's really helped to drive the outperformance of the US market. And we started to see a bit of shift out of that after Liberation Day, and that is a key question. Will that continue? Look, I think at the margin, with what's happened the last month, it's not surprising that a lot of investors globally start to, at the margin, look to diversify, because there's a couple of things. US valuations comparatively are still quite lofty compared to if you look at some of the valuations in other markets like Europe, Asian markets. So I'm not surprised if that trend of taking a little bit out of, flows into the US that we've seen the last, especially few years, and look to diversify into some of the other Asian markets. And you've seen the other markets outperform the US on that.
So, given all of that, right, what are you telling your clients right now, and are there any opportunities for investors?
Look, it's very, the volatility, if you've talked about that, our US strategists, actually did a quick look through. If you'd missed just, I think it was around 1 hour's worth of trading in that rebound, you missed most of the gains in the last month. And because it's turned around so quickly, most of the feedback from our clients is like, they're going to be cautious. They're really sitting on the sidelines. There's still uncertainty there. And it's more if we have a pullback, using that opportunity to enter the market as opposed to kind of really adding to it at the moment. The other thing that's come into focus as well is, equity markets have roared back. But if you look at what's been happening with, as you say, US rates, the central banks, we're starting to see, some of the US rates, the interest rates, all those rate cuts that were implied, from the tariffs get taken out. And that obviously is, all else being equal, less positive for equity markets.
That is Elizabeth Tien there from Citi. Don't forget, if you do enjoy the podcast, give it a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and to click that subscribe button.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.